Nielsen ranked number one. Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600.
Connecting this morning with Steve Anderson. He is the president of the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. And Steve, thanks for coming on this morning. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you, Melissa?
I can't complain. Thank you so much for asking. Now, I'm seeing a new report this morning that only 67% of adults in a recent poll said that they are actually planning to get the flu shot this year, which I'm assuming is down. Maybe it's right in line, but I would think that's pretty alarming. I know the pandemic has a lot to do with that, people feeling nervous to go to doctor's offices. But what are you finding when it comes to people wanting to get the flu shot this year?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. In that survey, 67% of adults said that getting a flu shot was important, which is low. Surveys that we've seen show that 90% of Americans understand the importance of wearing a mask, washing their hands, and practicing physical distancing as it relates to COVID. So our association is encouraging people to get their flu shots. So we are in the middle of a pandemic emergency, and experts are predicting a possible second wave in the winter months. And when you add flu to the COVID challenge, we will be possibly facing a two-front public health war. And CDC estimates in the last flu season, as many as 62,000 Americans were lost to flu, including more than 500,000 hospitalizations. So it's very important for Americans to get flu shots, and our pharmacies are working really hard to convey that to the American people, and particularly in those communities who have suffered from gaps in healthcare.
And before we share how people can safely go about getting the flu shot, which I know you have a wealth of knowledge on, before we had you on, I was actually talking a little bit in the break before about the importance of the flu shot. I think one of the things that we're missing as a society is education on why it's so essential to get the flu shot. Now, a lot of people are aware of the fact that the flu shot is basically, it's attacking one strain of the flu. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the strain that is taking over that particular flu season. So I think that's one of the biggest reasons people don't get it. So for example, if the vaccine was made for a strain A flu, but the season is showing mostly strain B is getting people sick, then why should people trust getting the flu vaccine?
Well, that is not necessarily the case. We have experts around the world that determine what flu shots are going to be effective. So this particular one that you will see now has four strains of the flu in the vaccine. And, you know, there's definitely a benefit of getting the flu shot right now, because you don't want to go into this second wave of COVID if it does arise, and have the flu, because you could get co-infected. And it's very important that people get the flu shot so they're not compromising their immune system if, in fact, they are exposed to COVID.
What about children? For parents who don't feel comfortable having their kids vaccinated, they say it could make their children have long-term issues. I don't know if you have anything you could share on that, in the sense that there are a lot of parents who are on the fence about getting their kids vaccinated. But I would think more than anyone, we need our kids to get vaccinated because they're the ones going into schools.
I think that point is a very good one. There are no studies that have shown that there is any link between long-term health effects associated with the flu shot. The flu is a very serious disease, as I indicated earlier, and particularly among young children and older adults and people with certain chronic health conditions. And that is particularly true this year. So we would recommend that they get flu shots. If they have any concerns, they can talk to their pharmacists, who are really trusted healthcare professionals and sometimes the only healthcare professional in a lot of communities, and to discuss those topics. But we would encourage them that there is a risk if they don't get a flu shot, particularly for children.
Steve Anderson is here, the president of the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. And Steve, could you tell people how they can safely get their flu shots this year if they go to a pharmacy?
Yes. I think the American people should know that pharmacies do take precautions. They practice social distancing. They wear masks. They wear gloves. They're washing their hands. I just got a flu shot, and I just walked into my pharmacy and talked to my pharmacist, who I've known for a long time, and I got it rather quickly. They should check with their local pharmacist to determine whether they need an appointment to get their flu shot. And that many cases, that's not true, but I think they can feel very comfortable going into a pharmacy and to get their flu shots.
All right. Well, Steve Anderson, we appreciate you coming on this morning to talk about the flu vaccine and to give people a little more perspective as to why it's so important to get that vaccine, especially now during the pandemic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
And this morning joining us is Jay Bonifide for the American Red Cross. Hey, Jay, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Now, last Thursday is the most recent severe weather we saw here in Connecticut. There were some communities that were basically left in shambles, like Branford and North Haven. Before that, we had Tropical Storm Isaias. And I know right in the center of it all, the Red Cross had volunteers that have had to help out a lot of families in our community. So can you give us a picture? What has the Red Cross had to do to kind of take on some of this work? I know that you guys work closely with our federal, state, and local officials to help others.
Yeah, really, you know, we've been working with those partners that you mentioned to assess the damage, to assess the needs, to identify any unmet needs in these local communities. And then whether it's recovery resources from the Red Cross or other resources that we can recommend people to, so we make sure they get that. We also, you know, we provide, in addition to that, recovery information and support, provide health and mental health services, disaster spiritual care support, especially for those whose homes have become unlivable after the storms that blew through last week.
You know, and besides the storms, Jay, you bring up a great point. When homes become unlivable, now that could happen because of fires. So that's also another thing that you guys show up to are when we see these fires. We know the Red Cross is also in charge of our blood drives. So you guys have a lot on your plates for sure. Now, I imagine you guys are still actively looking for volunteers, I would think. What do your numbers look like right now? Are you looking for people to still give the American Red Cross your time?
We're always looking for people that are willing and able to help their community through the Red Cross. You know, right now we have an urgent need for shelter volunteers, people that can work in shelters, whether it's here at home. You know, knowing some of the COVID restrictions, it's a little bit harder to bring some people in potentially to work due to some of the health concerns and quarantine restrictions. So we really need people that are willing and able to help our sheltering operations. But as you mentioned, we have blood drives. We're also looking for people that can hand out the juice and cookies after someone donates blood. So there's a volunteer opportunity for anyone who wants to help their community, any skill set, any schedule. You can go to redcross.org/volunteer today to see what some of those urgent needs are and get started.
Talking to Jay Bonifide this morning with the American Red Cross. Now, Jay, it's so awesome to be able to get another voice on the show for the American Red Cross. Typically, we have Stephanie on, and she's fabulous. We love Stephanie. But my understanding is Stephanie is with the team of volunteers who went south to help out Texas and Louisiana after Hurricane Laura. First of all, can you just tell us how are they doing this morning? What is the work that they're doing down there?
You know, Stephanie is one of about 31 people that are supporting the operations either in the Gulf or actually still in California for wildfires. But Stephanie is supporting the operations in the Gulf. She's supporting them virtually right now. But really, you know, the Red Cross is working tirelessly to help people that have been affected by Hurricane Laura, providing shelter, handing out meals and snacks. You know, they distributed over 67,000 meals and snacks so far, over 20,000 relief items and cleaning supplies. Is about 1,200 trained disaster workers on the ground providing these support services, working with our emergency management partners down in Louisiana and Texas to make sure that everyone who's been affected has a safe place to stay and has these needs being met. And again, it's about 31 people supporting these national operations from the Connecticut, Rhode Island region. And with 21 of those people have actually traveled despite all of the restrictions, some of the safety precautions, have taken those safety precautions and physically gone to support these folks. And we have another 10 that are doing so virtually.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, how do you guys determine you know, who goes down to some of these areas or even vice versa when we need the support. Like when Tropical Storm Isaias came and hit us, I imagine that teams came up to help us with relief, yes? Or did we not see that from other states?
I'm honestly not sure if we ended up needing to bring people in to help, because we're going to try first, both for efficiency and for just knowledge of the community, to use people that are from the local area first, to use our regional volunteers first. And that's part of why, you know, when we talk about those regional needs, or those volunteer needs rather, first, that's part of why, so that we can meet those initial emergency needs before we're able to bring in any assistance and hopefully not need to. But what we do is we have a database where our volunteers will put in their availability if they're available to go. And then if their training matches up with a need that is in one of these disaster relief operations, then they'll call and make sure that they're truly available. Obviously, in the COVID environment, there's a few other questions and just awareness that we'll make sure that people have about the health restrictions and those types of things. But really, it's an organized system through that. So we'll ask our volunteers to make themselves available if they are. And if so, then like I said, if they can match up a need, if there's a need for shelter workers in Louisiana and we have shelter workers that are available to go from here in Connecticut, then they're going to get on that plane if they're available and go down and help out our neighbors in need.
Jay Bonifide, thank you so much for stepping in this morning and talking about the American Red Cross. And again, what's your website if people are interested in volunteering?
If volunteering, go directly to redcross.org/volunteer today. It'll have, again, those urgent needs for shelter workers, but there's also links to all the opportunities right on that page.
So helpful. Thank you so much. And we tip our hats to the American Red Cross and all the work that you guys do. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Well, I know I'm counting the days. Heck, I'm counting the hours until this 3-day weekend coming up. I'm very excited. Labor Day weekend is upon us in just a couple of days. But it doesn't mean that everyone is going to have the day off. In fact, for police, they're going to be working overtime. This morning, we're going to be talking to the state police this morning. And we've got Sergeant Robert Derry. He's back with us from Troop G. And Sergeant, thanks for being here this morning. How are you?
We're doing well, Melissa. Glad to be here. And yes, for the record, I will be working this weekend.
Oh, man. Where are you going to be stationed? I'll come and, like, give you muffins or something. I always feel bad because for some, I don't know, it's hard when you have Labor Day, but you work. So where are you going to be?
Okay.
I'll come find you.
Yeah, listen, beggars can't be choosers. I'll take what I can get. But no, it's part of the job, and this is what we do. And then when we come into this line of work, We know going into this, we're going to miss holidays, birthday parties, family engagements. So it's just one of those sacrifices that we make for the job that we all believe in. So I will be everywhere in the Fairfield County, everywhere area. So feel free to look me up.
All right. I'll keep an eye out for you. Now, Sergeant Derry, would you say Labor Day weekend falls into that same category of like Memorial Day weekend, 4th of July weekend, where we're really keeping a close eye on distracted driving, but even I would think more importantly, but like drinking and driving, people who are impaired behind the wheel. Is that what you guys are looking out for?
Yeah, absolutely, Melissa. With these holiday weekends, it's all pretty much the same story where, you know, people like to go out and have a good time and maybe relieve some stress and indulge in some libations. But, you know, our number one goal is to make sure people are safe and people do not drink and drive. At the end of these type of weekends, as it is all year long, our number one goal when it comes down to motor vehicle safety is to do our best possible jobs so that there are zero fatality motor vehicle accidents. That's what we're really looking for. Unfortunately, last year, throughout the state, we did have 3 fatality motor vehicle crashes. So we are doing our best to knock that number down to 0. But we need everybody's help that sit behind the wheel to drive safely, use common sense, and obey the laws.
Sergeant Derry, is that right in line with what we usually see for Labor Day weekend? 3 fatalities last year. Do we usually, unfortunately, lose lives during Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the statistics say for past Labor Day weekends, past 2019, but unfortunately, we do have, obviously, we all know, because we sit in this traffic, their traffic does increase. Sometimes the speeds do increase. The drunk driving may be an issue in some of these crashes, but, you know, I just, we do our best to try to keep these things down, but unfortunately with the situation that we are given, that unfortunately these type of things do happen.
Are you hoping the pandemic, and I hate to say it this way, but just for lack of better terms, are you hoping the pandemic is in your favor? Like, for example, with 4th of July, Memorial Day weekend, there were no parades, there were no fireworks displays. So while we did see speeding was still a problem, we did see that there were some violations. We didn't really see any upticks this summer, per se, from state police in any of those categories like you just mentioned. So are you hoping that we see the same for Labor Day weekend, that we at least stay the same, if not see better results because of the pandemic? Or are people so used to it at this point that we're probably going to see some upticks?
Well, you know, it's a tough question, because I will say that, unfortunately, we did see an uptick in motor vehicle fatality crashes over the summer.
Overall?
We did, yeah. I can tell you this, in the Troop G area, which is I-95 from New York up to Guilford and the Mayor Parker.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, we did see an uptick in fatality crashes, and we were trying to figure out why that's going on. You know, there's obviously, we all know, all your listeners know, that we are in a very, very, I call it a bizarre time, between everything that's going on in the world right now, between the pandemic and the political climate and everything else that's going on. And, you know, I don't know what the rhyme or reason is for these, other than the fact that when we do these investigations, we are trying to determine how, when, why, you know, what caused this crash. And a lot of times it's a drug or drunk driving. It's people are driving too fast. People who we've had fatals where the operator falls asleep. So it's wide ranging reasons why these things happen. But you know, I know there's a lot of stress in the world right now and in the country, and I know as a college student, as a parent of a college student, you know, these college kids are, you know, kids are getting driven down to the colleges far away from home, only to be told a lot of them have to come back now because of everything that's going on. So
I know
there's a lot of internal stress with everybody. And, you know, we are all trying to do our best. You know, I know the men and women of the state police, you know, they get up every morning and every day and come out there and try to do the job the best of their ability. And we've talked about it before. We are understaffed right now. But again, we signed on here for a reason. We are all very dedicated to what we do. We pride ourselves on being an extremely professional organization and being there for the citizens and the travelers that come through the state of Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Talking this morning to Sergeant Robert Derry with the State Police. He's with Troop G. And before I let you go, Sergeant, I know you had kind of said where you're going to be throughout Fairfield County, but where can people expect to see State Police? I mean, are we talking about more numbers across our highways, like 95 in that area, or are you guys going to be in cities or town or anything? What can people expect?
Well, I can speak for Troop G out of Bridgeport. We're going to be all over the interstate highways in the Merritt Parkway, Route 8, Route 25. So what happens is when these holiday weekends come along, we are allocated funding for additional patrols for DUI enforcement. So we did get allocated funding for that, and we are in the process of assigning troopers to those respective days. And actually, it kicks off tonight, because it starts tonight.
Oh, it starts tonight.
Monday
okay.
morning. It does. Yeah, they give us a little bit of a lead time to get everything up and running. So we're going to get troopers out there ASAP and working to combat the issue. And again, our goal for the talk on Tuesday morning after Labor Day is that we had zero fatalities in the state of Connecticut. That's what we're really, really hoping for.
Yeah, definitely is the goal. And as you just heard from the sergeant, starting tonight into Monday, they're going to be out in full force. So you will see the state police all across the state here, obviously making you safe, making sure that you're safe on the roads. And Sergeant Derry, we appreciate that you're going to be working this weekend despite the Labor Day holiday. We appreciate the efforts of the state police. Thank you so much. And yes, if we could have you back on Tuesday morning, that would be great, just to follow up and see how we did as a whole.
Absolutely, Melissa. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it. I'll be looking forward to those muffins you're going to make. And yeah, reach out to me Tuesday morning.